Good morning. I stand before you, very honored to be here this morning. Circumstances are challenging, to say the least, for Mark and his brother. Let's pray for them, pray for his sake, coming back home, and for a speedy recovery for his brother. The opportunity to be here this morning in front of you is a privilege to me, and I take it very seriously. What Benjamin just read is probably the most popular, most read verse, John 3:16, right? But the following verses are hardly ever read. The question this morning is, what is God's passion? Does God show passion throughout Scripture? He's created us in His image. We're pretty passionate for many things. Many, many things. As a matter of fact, we are so passionate within our own families. The bloodlines run deep. We love our children. We love our parents. We love our great parents, great grandparents. To the point where that's what we live. That's what our last name is. That's what it means. We all have so many memories in our life. So think about this. We often stop and look at pictures, videos that just speak. We all have very good memories, don't we? But in some of those photos, in some of those videos, we have some tough moments, some not so good moments in our lifetime. I can recall 2001 as one of our best moments. Rocio and I were very young. 9/11. Do you all recall 9/11? I remember it like if it just happened. But it was also a good time in our personal life. We've talked about it, and I feel that it was our happiest time. We had two children at the time. We had Reuben Jr., which was 5 years old. Bianca was 3 years old. And on 9/11, Rocio was pregnant with Nicholas, although she didn't know it yet. Or did you? We were having our third child. But we were at peace. We were living in Los Angeles. For those of you that don't know, we are from LA. We had just purchased a used mobile home for a used car price. Saved up for it for many years. We purchased it, and we didn't have a mortgage. But we lived in a mobile home, parking, and we had to pay the lot fee. We had to pay all the utility bills. But that was a time that I remember that was financially free for me. So in ways, it was the best time. Of course, things happen, right? After that, we decided to buy a house. Mobile home wasn't big enough. We ended up having more children. So you often question yourself, were those the right decisions to have more children? And in our life, yes, it was. God blessed us. We had six blessings. Some people call us crazy, but I call them full of blessings. In 2001, I got hired by the company I still work for today. Shaw Industries is the largest flooring manufacturer in the world. And for that, I am truly grateful. And that was another big blessing. Why 2001 was a big year for us. And the thing about it is that I didn't realize how long I was going to work for my company. My company has stood by my side through the bad and through the good. And for that, I am truly grateful. What about the bad? What about the not so good? We could speak physically. Illness comes to every single one of us. It's just a matter of time. It's gonna come. The question is, are we prepared for it? Physically, we're never gonna be prepared for it. But spiritually, let's look down spiritual memory lane. What is our most memorable moment in our life? It's got to be the day I was baptized. It has to be that day. That day that changed my whole world. My spiritual world was moved that day when I was baptized and received God into my life and accepted my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You do realize that today the world, Christian world, celebrates Easter once a year as He is risen today. But as our brother Torno just read, we do it every first day of the week. Why? Because that is what Scripture says. We do it every first of the week to remember that incredible sacrifice. The question is, the title of the lesson, is God passionate? Does He have passion? Is it a trick question? No. Again, we grow up, we live according to our parents' traditions, passions. We develop our own passions, we develop our own traditions. And some are great, some are very memorable, and some stay very unique to our own households, right? Which makes them special. Love it. What's the good old saying? There's no place like home. What is your home? Our spiritual home should be right here. Our spiritual home should be amongst our brethren. If there's no place like home, I'd rather be here with you all rather than anywhere else in the world. If there's no place like home. I'd like to read two different stories in Scripture that have completely the total opposite outcomes. And please be patient with me and let's read. Matthew chapter 19. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19 and start in verse 16. We're going to read about the rich young ruler. Matthew 19, I'm reading out of the New King James Version, so please, those who are following along, that is the version that I'm reading. Starting in verse 16, Matthew 19, verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? That was a trick question. You'll see why. Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Six commandments he gave him. The young man said, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? You see, before we continue, this gentleman is pretty sure of himself. He's kept all these commandments since his youth. He knew that he was a responsible person. He knew that he was in obedience. Physically. Mentally. What about your heart? We're talking about passion, right? Then he asks, then it gets a little tricky here. Okay, so Jesus said to him in verse 21, If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great, great possessions. First of all, he knows who Jesus is, the way the story is. He calls him good teacher. He knows that Jesus has the answer. He knows that Jesus has that key to enter the kingdom of heaven. So he asks an important question. I mean, it's coming out of him. He knew he was keeping the commandments, but he knew that it wasn't good enough. He already knew it. Why is he asking? I tell you, it's incredible how our life is, right? Can we compare ourselves to this gentleman? I mean, riches. He had a lot of riches. Jesus told him to do two things. Sell them, give them to the poor, and next, come follow me. Obviously, he wasn't happy with either. He couldn't give him up, and he wasn't ready to follow Jesus. So what does that say, though? I mean, he was a good man. He was keeping those commandments all his life, since his youth. Isn't that good enough to get me into heaven? Didn't I checkmark that box to get into heaven? What does Scripture say? Verse number 20. Number 22 says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus goes on and explains how it's so hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven in the next few verses. But the moral of this story is, if we have our passion in material blessings, which are blessings, by the way, material, just something that we hold on to dearly, that we cannot let go, that gets in the way of my worship, we've got trouble. We've got issues in our life right now. It could be anything. Anything that blocks us from serving God 100%. He asked them to leave it all behind, because Jesus knew where his heart was. Even though he was obeying with all these commandments, it didn't matter. It's a sad story, but it's true. It happens. Now let's read the other side of the coin. Acts chapter 8, please. Go with me to Acts chapter 8. This young man was the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. And let's start reading in verse number 26. And in this story, before we read it, remember, God has intentions already. God knows our heart. Just like Jesus already knew that rich young ruler's heart already, God knows our heart when we're ready to give it to Him. All right, verse number 26 reads, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is desert. "So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, See, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. And when they came up from the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Do we have to say any more? God already knew that heart. God already knew where his heart was. It was ready. He went down to worship. He was already practicing worship. He was already trying to please God. But it wasn't complete. He needed Jesus in his life. He didn't know the story about Jesus. He didn't know that Jesus had come to the earth to die for his sins. He didn't know any of that. So God, the angel of the Lord, talks to Philip, sends him over. And Philip, did he say, you know what, angel? I don't have time for this right now. I have my wife's birthday is today. I'm sorry, can't make it. It's my anniversary today. Sorry, can't make it. I'm already booked. My family's right here waiting. No. See, this story is for both sides. It's for the one who's ready and for the one who's ready to teach. Are we ready at all times? That's the question. Are we ready at all times? We have this moment a lot. But we also ignore this moment a lot. Why? Because we're not ready to teach. we have priorities. God wants us to seize these moments, just like Philip did, because that heart is ready everywhere. In this generation that we're living in, it's chaotic. Lives are lived backwards today. Why? Because they feel it. Something came over. I don't want to get into details on that. That's another sermon all by itself. The whole point right now is God passion. If God didn't have passion, He wouldn't have sent Philip. If God didn't have passion, He wouldn't have noticed the Ethiopian eunuch's heart that was ready. You see, God sees all. God knows. God knows. I'm telling you, the more we read, the more we study, the more we learn, and the more we want to do. We ought to want to do. See, in this life, I believe we're either givers or we love to take. Receive. Those who love to give go out of their way to give. They will do whatever it takes to give something to somebody in need. And you know what? As soon as they're done with that one, they move on to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. You know why? Because it's not good enough. It's an addiction. It's a good addiction. You give, and you give, and you give. But on the other side, some of us love to receive. Oh, we love to receive. And that could become a situation where we love it so much that we forget to give. We love receiving so much that the giving part doesn't exist anymore. Or we give just a little minuscule piece, but we love to receive. As Christians, who are we? We ought to be givers. 100% givers. Is God passionate? Is He? The young man that just came up to read the scripture reading. I don't want to embarrass you, Benjamin. But I see his passion. I see it. And I'm pleased with it. Love it. Is it hard to be passionate? No. It's not hard. You have to be willing to do it. What he just read for us is the most popular verses of all time. It's read over and over and over. Read with me once again, John 3:16. 21. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal everlasting life." Is God passionate? He so loved us that He gave. Remember, givers. This is the ultimate example of giving. He gave. He sacrificed. What do you want to call it? He didn't want anything from us. Just one thing. For us to accept Him. That's it. Accept what He's done for us. Verse 17. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Saved to what? What are we looking at? What do we need? Oh, life passes by. My good brethren, life just passes by. It's inevitable. We all go. Where are we going? Which direction do we want to go? Do we want to go to the direction that God is pointing us to, or to the other direction? And God is so good. God is such a giver that even in the scriptures, He tells us where we're going. John 14, last verse. John 14, starting in verse number 1, reads, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, do you not know where you're going? And how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It says that there's many mansions, heavenly mansions up there. And he calls it home. I said there's no place like home, right? There's no place like home. There is no place like home. And that's our home. Are we ready to get there? Do we want to get there? Do we want to be like the rich young ruler to throw it all away? Because he wasn't ready to give it up. Oh, we have our passions. We have our traditions. And if they have overtaken some of our priorities, we need to rethink it. We need to dispose of them if they're getting in the way. If anybody's ready today to receive God, receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, please come up. We have water. Be baptized like the Ethiopian eunuch did. And obey, if you may. All together we stand and we sing the song of invitation.